Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time to rise and grind with us on a glorious Friday morning. And by the way, the heat dome is here in the Northeast, but that's not even going to tell the tale of how hot these next 3 hours are going to be right here on the Early Line, Sirius XM Channel 159. I'm Donnie Wrightside. He is Joe Ranieri. Ben Stevens has the day off. Hopefully get some time to rest and relax, but we got business to handle. And that first business is Joe Ranieri. How do we feel this morning heading into the weekend? It's Friday. It's glorious. Are we ready to go?
Well, I'm fingers crossed here that I don't have to go to a game seven. I'm just going to leave it at that. I don't want a game seven. I don't want to have to go. I'd like to celebrate tonight with the championship and the Panthers. Fingers crossed.
So many times, Joe, we sit back and say, hey, it's a football Friday here on the Sports Grid Network. Today, traditionally, it's a hockey Friday because, yes, there is a game six tonight. If there is a game number seven, you can relax this weekend, get back after it in South Florida on Monday. We'll see if that happens. But a lot more hot topics to go over today, which includes Major League Baseball, the NHL, football, and also the NBA is just starting to hit his stride after the finals. Let's get to that first hot topic here in the 7-7. The Lakers, finally, Joe Ranieri, hiring J.J. Redick to a four-year contract to coach this team. Or is he there as a best friend for LeBron James?
I heard it was down to him and Brian Windhorst. Apparently, all you have to do is cover the league or be in the media, and you can apparently get a head coaching job here. I don't know what to make of this. You weren't even the top choice, and now they go to a guy with no affiliation to the Lakers ever outside of hosting a podcast with one of their players. This whole thing is just it's got car crash written all over it, and sign me up for it.
We're going to have a deep dive into this throughout the show, obviously, because it is a hot topic here. Going from Dan Hurley to saying, you know what? I don't think we can pay him enough money. He should like this, to turning it down. And I love this too, Joe Ranieri. You see with the details, it's a four-year deal. We don't have any financials yet. I can't wait to see what those financials are, because I'm sure we're certainly going to have some opinions on that. Opinions last night in Major League Baseball. How about an over at Rickwood Field yesterday? The St. Louis Cardinals 6, the San Francisco Giants 5. A lot of pomp and circumstance and pageantry around that game. I made sure, Joe, to tune in an hour early. I just wanted to watch everything. There were fantastic interviews all the way through, a lot of history lessons earned, and a great baseball game, as it turned out, where St. Louis won.
Hey, it was really cool. We were covering it last night on in-game live primetime, Donnie, and kudos to Fox, who covered the game. That doing the fourth or fifth inning in all black and white, old school, might have been one of the coolest things I've seen in a very long time in production broadcast.
Now, it was pretty interesting to watch, and also, if you did bet that over, it was nice, man. That ball was flying early. You noticed the dimensions of the old Rickwood Field were brought in. It was a beautiful night down there in Birmingham, Alabama, and I think Major League Baseball came off really well last night, so great job by Major League Baseball. But how about this? Yeah. The Bronx Bombers getting bombed on in the Bronx yesterday. Luis Gil fighting for Cy Young. maybe rookie of the year. Dominant pitching performances left and right. 17-5 Baltimore yesterday. Boy, they brought out the bats and hammered Luis Gil.
Yeah. New York, boy, they were going through it. 90 degrees and humid yesterday. The Northeast not ready for that. Now, you ain't ready for that yet. And, boy, the Yankees weren't ready for the Orioles at all. Good news, though. Good news, bad news. Obviously, he wasn't going to win every game. But Aaron Judge looks like that hand won't be an issue. So there's better days ahead, hopefully, for the Yankees.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun thing to watch throughout the summer. I mean, you're taking a look at probably the two best teams in the American League in the same division. We're going to be a handful of games separating them probably from right now all the way through to September. So certainly something to watch out for, but a big-time win for those Baltimore Orioles. Let's flip it back over to the NBA. Trade season already upon us here. How about the Chicago Bulls trading Alex Caruso to the Thunder for Josh Giddey? And away we go here, Joe, into the offseason.
Yeah, I don't get this trade. I mean, listen, it's kudos to OKC. They basically have now guaranteed that nobody else could get Caruso, who was in big demand. But if you're Chicago, you had the ability to trade him to just about anybody would have given you anything you wanted there prior to the playoffs starting. And now you got Josh Giddey, who does not fit in at all with what's going on in Chicago. So I don't get the trade at all for the Bulls, as usual.
Yeah, it was one of those trades where it went down. It's like, that's interesting. I didn't hear any of these names being moved around for each other at this point. Giddey's a young player going to Chicago. You get that veteran here for Caruso to a team with OKC that does have championship aspirations. We'll see if that works out next year. But there's going to be some big money floated around in the NBA offseason, which is the case time in and time out. And just wait till that new money, Joe Ranieri, hits when we start seeing guys making $70, $80, and $90 million per year. But how about this? Not a bad job. Malik Monk stays with the Kings on a four-year, $78 million deal. The super guy off the bench giving you that sub performance. Hey, look, man, they're getting paid these days. Bench players are getting paid these days. How about that?
Well, listen, I mean, the numbers speak volumes with him and Sacramento last year. With him on the court versus him off the court, they were clearly a better team when he was healthy and he was playing for them. So some might say that's actually a cheap deal there, Donnie, when it's all said and done.
Yep, there's going to be a lot of money thrown around as free agency is just upon us, and we got a lot more hot topics to hit on that later in the show. But how about this, Joe? Let's go back 1 year in time and say to ourselves, the running backs were calling each other on the phone and talking about things like, let's all not show up to camp because nobody wants to pay running backs. Fast forward to 1 year, running backs getting paid all over the place. Ramondre Stevenson here of the Patriots, 4 years, $36 million, the revenge of the running back in 2024.
Yeah, $17 million guaranteed of that contract, which is also kind of mind-blowing. But, hey, listen, at least it's the one position the Patriots, I guess, don't have to worry about moving forward, Donnie. They got other issues. I guess running back, they just didn't want to have to deal with moving forward.
Yeah, it's a tough scene here. I mean, outside of Tom Brady and obviously Bill Belichick no longer in that organization, you're going to see it a lot because you're seeing so many times already. Let's just bring Bill back. Let's bring Tom back here. Let's keep the vibes going. Anything to deflect of what we might anticipate on the field for the New England Patriots this season, certainly a tough AFC East. Here's one story that I always get a kick out of here. And sometimes on this show, I have a little bit of a sarcastic tone, Joe. I say, just make sure you cheat at everything because it never really catches up to you. You saw Ryan Garcia in his title bout absolutely hammer his opponent, but it turns out that he was on PEDs, tested positive. He said he didn't. Then it turns out that he's going to have to keep some of his purse here, as well as only get suspended 1 year. So a lot of people trying to get that upper level in boxing. Ryan Garcia, he's going to sit down for a year. But you know what? He says, I'm retired. Good luck with that. Is he going to unretire in about a year here, Joe? Is that what we're feeling?
He says a lot of things, Donnie, apparently. Usually it's maybe one of the most entertaining dudes in the sport that we've seen in a very, very long time. But the ironic thing is here is he was on PEDs, but he missed weight for that fight, goes in, beats the snot out of him, can't win the belt anyway. And then he's like, the belt doesn't matter to me because I just wanted to come in here and prove a point. I hope he appeals, and I hope they cut it in half because boxing needs this guy around. He is extremely entertaining.
By the way, you take a look, and yes, he is pretty entertaining here with saying stuff that doesn't make any sense, and also playing that dog and pony show that we expected him to show up into that title fight and get crushed because it looked like he wasn't taking it seriously, and he pounds Devin Haney, and it turns out that he does have the PEDs and will be suspended here. But flip it over to Devin Haney's side. Not used to losing. Goes in and gets hammered, but yes, the other guy was on PEDs. How do you feel moving forward in your boxing career? Because technically, you're still unbeaten, but you know you went into the ring and you agreed to a fight with a guy that was overweight, and then he tests positive for PEDs, fights you and clowns you. Where do you go from here if you're Devin Haney?
Well, like I've always said, Donnie, PEDs don't help you hit a 98-mile-an-hour fastball, and they don't help you when you're drinking beers in between to actually knock a dude out and beat the snot out of him. So I'm not sure what the PEDs role played. Haney better take a look in the mirror there and figure out a new way to approach this because it didn't work, PEDs or no PEDs.
Absolutely not. 25-year-old, it says he forfeited his purse. It was disclosed his purse was $1.2 million, so he gets a good chunk of that taken away. And then the commission's like, you know what? Throwing an extra 10 grand right here, and we'll see you back in a year. That's the state of boxing at this point. He'll be back in the ring. People pay for his fights, and maybe they'll get a rematch and have those drug tests not come back PED positive. But you know what we're going to talk about next? Yeah, the Los Angeles Lakers. They found the head coach. But is it the right head coach? Joe and I will talk about it next. Don't go anywhere.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here on the Early Line on a Friday morning. And yes, it is a hot Friday morning. The hot topics, the heat dome over the Northeast. I almost feel like, you know, Joe Ranieri has moved up to the Northeast here because we can share in some of this hot, muggy conditions as we make our way through this weekend. And typically we say, all right, it's a big weekend in Major League Baseball. Absolutely it is. Usually we're talking about NBA action. I don't know, college basketball, whatever it might be. But now we sort of head into those summer months. But I always like to say this, Joe, when we're talking about the NBA, like, the regular season is fun, the handicapping, the gambling, heading into the finals and the playoffs, a lot of excitement. But the NBA brings that heat like no other sport in the offseason where it's almost drama daily until we get the next season underway. And the Lakers have been a part of that drama. They've been searching for a coach, Joe, it seems like for months on end. Found their guy, didn't find their guy. New group of guys, surprising guys trying to hire like Dan Hurley coming from UConn, which didn't work out. They fall back on J.J. Redick and a tweet yesterday coming out from Adrian Wojnarowski. ESPN sources, J.J. Redick has agreed on a 4-year contract to become the next head coach of the Lakers. Rob Pelinka offered him that morning, which was yesterday, and Redick started to work on his staff right away. So let's get the first thoughts out here. J.J. Redick to the Lakers, yes or no, it works out. When I mean works out, is it at least not a train wreck and we can have some success in Los Angeles, Joe?
Oh, no, this is a train wreck written all over. Oh, buddy. This is going to be, sign me up for it. I can't wait. And you know what's really interesting to me here with both the Hurley attempt at hiring and now the Redick is how quiet LeBron James has been. It's almost as if, Donnie, he is distancing himself as far away from this next coaching search. So you know what? When it does blow up, he can go, I had nothing to do with this. I didn't know it. I had no idea this is the direction they were going. Plausible deniability for LeBron. He has not said two words either way, either the Hurley situation or now Redick. I think because we all know how this is going to end. Kudos to Redick for getting the job. I mean, you went from podcaster to NBA head coach of the greatest franchise in the history of the NBA. But, you know, along with that comes mountains and mountains of pressure and guys more qualified than you, Redick, have sat in that seat and couldn't make it through it. I don't see how this works in any way, shape or form.
Look, the Lakers are about superstars. We understand that. And the Lakers are going to bend over backwards here, taking a look at what they need to do to keep LeBron James. Is it going to be to draft Bronny? Is it going to be to obviously offer a really big lucrative deal once LeBron James opts out this summer of that Lakers contract to come back? But also, let's keep in mind, like, this isn't done like, hey, you know what? If LeBron doesn't like it, so what? Like, LeBron chose him to do a podcast with. They're obviously familiar with each other, and they think it's intriguing if they could work together. And LeBron James basically called the the shots. LeBron James has to give his blessing to a head coach for the Lakers. Otherwise, he does have the ability to opt out. It's not as if the Buss family is like, you know what, LeBron? You're locked in for 5 years. You'll take whatever coach we get. We have the right to trade you if we want to or keep you, so you're going to have to deal with it. And that's not the case in this instance. But let me ask you this question. We saw Hurley, and the initial indications when they were going to offer Hurley the job for the Lakers was going to be somewhere around $100+ million, which, like, you know what? That's going to take a lot of money to get him out of Storrs, Connecticut, to head out to Los Angeles. He doesn't take the deal, and it turns out it was only, and I say only fictitiously here, $65 to $60 million. It's a 4-year deal. What do you think those dollar figures are right now for J.J. Redick with the Lakers? Is it a heavy deal, or are we going to be like, ooh, they got him pretty cheap here?
I'm sure they got him pretty they probably had a number in mind that yep. they knew it was, you can't say no to, but it was, you know, a lot of people were very miffed by the whole idea of what they offered Hurley. They thought that was going to be a $100 million deal, that was going to be yep. the kind of money that he could not say no to. And they did the same thing with Ty Lue. If you remember back in 2019, they went cheap with that. And Ty Lue's like, yeah, no, I'm good. I don't want nothing to do with this. So I don't know why they keep going cheap with trying to get the guys they want. You did it with Hurley. You did it with Ty Lue. This is now the 7th head coach of the Lakers since Phil Jackson left, what, in 2011? This is a dumpster fire of an organization. And this hire just goes to tell you with everything that's wrong with the Lakers right now.
You're right, because, I mean, we understand, like, the Lakers logo and emblem means a lot. I mean, it's one of the most prestigious spots you could be at, but also sometimes those teams treat it as, you're lucky that we even consider you to be a head coach. Whatever deal we give you to be the Lakers head coach, you know, goes in part. And also from a J.J. Redick perspective, he made a lot of money in the NBA. He's still young. And if he says, you know what, in a year and a half or 2 years, this didn't work out, where does he go, Joe? Right back into the booth. So it's almost like a risk-free option, not like, well, I'm going to take this leap of faith. If this doesn't work out here, I'll never get a job again in this business. He will be fine at this. But the questions are going to be also, if it was a LeBron James blessing, is there a chance, Joe, that we find ourselves here in a couple weeks going, okay, LeBron James opted out of the Lakers deal, which we expect because he was going to opt back in for more money. Could he opt out and leave and be like, wow, I thought J.J. Redick coming to the Lakers was because LeBron James gave it okay. Is there a chance that LeBron James doesn't actually play for the Lakers in 2024?
No, because publicly he has acted as if he knows nothing about what's going on. But behind the scenes, we all know better than that, right? This hire doesn't happen unless it was already talked about. But what he's doing is he's putting himself in the same kind of spot that he put with Darvin Ham. Like, I had nothing to do with this. We all know they went to you and said, are you okay if we hire this guy? And every guy that has gotten, booted since, basically, LeBron has been able to wash his hands of it and go, I really had nothing to do with it. It wasn't my call. Of course, it's your call. This is your call. But Hurley, at least, was a hire, Donnie. They were looking towards the future for post-LeBron era to have a coach in place that could rebuild. You're not going to have that here with this hire. This is a strict one-and-done type of situation.
It feels like it, too, because for my money, you look at Hurley coming over, and we thought it was probably going to be maybe even, Joe, like a 10-year, like 10 years, $120 million. Like, blow him away, give him a lot of money, and also a lot of, hey, yep. I'm not going to go anywhere in 2 years. So if LeBron James, after 3 games, goes, I can't play for this guy, well, then the Lakers were like, well, the coach is staying, and we might get rid of you at this point. It'll be interesting the way this plays out. And also, was this agreed upon? Because Hurley coming over to be that next linchpin there out there for the Lakers yep. to carry over from the LeBron era. And maybe Bronny James doesn't go to the Lakers. Does he go to the Lakers? Boy, there is a lot of turmoil right now. But I think it's going to be interesting to find ourselves halfway through the season, those behind the scenes and back talking. Ooh, is this guy a good coach? And is he right for the job? We'll find out. More NBA talk next year on a Hockey Friday on the Sports Grid Network. You got it. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA offseason action is always fantastic, and we've already heated up. What is it, the hot stove in Major League Baseball? Yeah, it should be the hot stove in the NBA because trades are happening, free agency is about to be upon us, coaches are being hired, and we're just a few days out of the Boston Celtics crowned world champions of the NBA. But as we saw yesterday, Joe, Adrian Wojnarowski again with a Woj bomb. Chicago Bulls trading two-time all-defensive guard Alex Caruso to the Oklahoma City Thunder for guard Josh Giddey, sources tell ESPN. Now, is this going to be a major move that's going to dictate the power from the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference? No, it's not. But I actually really like the move here for Oklahoma City. It's almost like, okay, we have a young team here. Now we're going to get that blend in here, bring in those veteran guys that know how to win, that will play defense and help guide us here as a great piece to the puzzle. So I like this move here, as you pointed out. I think the move is pretty good for OKC. Questionable for the Chicago Bulls here and what their future actually is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Caruso has been in, I mean, we can make the argument, right? He has been one of the most sought after role players in the NBA, because this is not the first time we're talking about Caruso. There are teams that have been doing everything to try to get him. I mean, just look at what the bench guys and those role players of Boston did. They can all shoot the three. They can all play defense. And guess what? He's a 41% three-point shooter. He is exactly what teams would love to have. And he's a luxury for OKC. But more importantly, OKC's like, you know what? Dallas ain't getting him. Denver ain't getting him. Nobody else in the West that matters is getting him, because now he's on our team. And by the way, he only makes a million and a half more than what Josh Giddey does. So there's no long-term commitment here for OKC either. I think they absolutely won this trade.
Yeah, good move overall. Certainly, you get that playoff guy that's been there, done that before. It'll be fun to see how it plays out. And again, very high on OKC next year to win a championship. Speaking of championship odds, we just saw the Boston Celtics roll through the regular season, roll through the Eastern Conference, and roll through the Dallas Mavericks to win the NBA Finals. So it's no surprise next year when we take a look at the finals prices on the FanDuel Sportsbook. The Boston Celtics, a 3-1 price. The Denver Nuggets, plus 750. The T-Wolves, plus 850. The Bucks at 9-1. And also the Thunder, after making that move under 10-1, set at a 9-1 price. So let me ask you this, because it's very simple. Like, oh, let's break down OKC next year. Let's not do that. Of course, the price point here. The Celtics right now are the best team in the NBA, but that price point at 3-1 to start the season, for me, even if I think they're the best team in the NBA, that's not a price I'm willing to tie up for, what, 9 months to get my money back?
I think the stat was, Donnie, this was just the 15th time in NBA history in which a preseason favorite actually won the championship. So this is it's not something that happens every year. It's been few and far between here. So the Celtics obviously got it done as the favorites last year. It is not easy to do. There's a reason why there haven't been a ton of them throughout the history of the NBA, because a lot can happen in an 82 game season between now and this time next year. So I do think that also opens up the opportunities at some really nice numbers for some other teams that we think can certainly make that next step here, Donnie, next year.
Yeah, here's the fun thing, Joe, about this, too, because we take a look at reading this, and it's a lot easier sometimes when it's, let's just say, the night before the NBA season starts. Why? You know what these teams are going to produce, who made moves in the summer, whose players are injured to start the season. You're like, okay, I'll take the Celtics at 3-1. Here's what's intriguing, because you take a look at the other teams that are going to be vying and say, you know what? We got to improve our team to take down the Celtics. So you take a look at teams like the Bucks if they make any moves, the Thunder if they continue, because they have a lot of money under the salary cap and a lot of ammunition in trades, which so many picks that they have in the future. The Philadelphia 76ers out there sitting at a 12-1 price. They're not a finished product. They're hunting for another superstar. And who might that be? We'll talk about that in the next segment here. But talk about, Joe, betting over the summer when we know these teams aren't final. Can you find yourself getting that added bonus? Or maybe like, you know what? I'm going to do my work, do a little intel. I think I'm getting a great price because I expect, let's just say, the Knicks to make a move and I'll be getting 16-1 at a much better price now in the summer than I would to start the season.
Yeah, and I hate to say it, but look at OKC. I mean, nobody is in a better spot financially, draft capital, to go out and get, are you ready for this? How about an Isaiah Hartenstein? Because they're going to make him an offer they probably can't refuse. And all of a sudden, this team looking a lot like the Boston Celtics this year of the West. Everyone shoots a three. Everyone can play defense. They can space the floor. OKC at that price is very attractive to me in the futures market.
We'll go over a couple moves here in that next segment, but also keep in mind, players are looking to get paid this summer. One of those players, Paul George, mysterious comments on maybe not making himself so endearing to his next team and what he's willing to do to win a championship. NBA Talk on a Friday, who says no? Certainly not Joe and Donnie. We'll be right back. Let's get it hard on the hardwood.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Teach your kid to dribble basketball, fire three-pointers, and if you can average yourself 15 points and 5 assists in the NBA, you'd be eligible for an $80 million contract, just like we're seeing from Malik Monk to stay in Sacramento, 4 years, $78 million, which does include a player option. The price of the brick goes up day to day in the NBA, and if you are a serviceable player like Monk is, you are going to get paid. Nice to keep him in town. Malik Monk, $80 million, Joe Ranieri. How about that?
Yeah, it must be nice. I mean, let's be realistic here. The best job in the world, Donnie, might be the sixth man on an NBA bench, just raking in that money each and every year and only having to play 6 minutes a game. It can't go wrong. I don't know how we sign up for that job. But Monk, I think, is very worth it. And every team who's serious about winning a championship needs a Malik Monk on that roster in that spot, and they just made sure he's not going to play for anybody else. So I like the signing for Sacramento for sure.
Yeah, Sacramento, good basketball team. We'll see what they do in 2024. Yep. But again, you are eligible now. Most players on their teams, you can sign those extensions and not wait for the true start of free agency, which brings us up here to Paul George and where he might go. Now, in the NBA, there's very few players that garner, hey, he's got to be a max contract guy. And we're thinking Paul George is that. But there's a couple different scenarios that we're going to get to here. First, let's start with the tweet yesterday from Shams. The Philadelphia 76ers' interest in pursuing Paul George has significantly waned in recent days, and the franchise is expected to be aggressive elsewhere with his salary cap flexibility, which is interesting because Paul George has been linked to Philadelphia. Philadelphia has a max spot open where they're looking for another superstar to sort of propel and say, you know what? Maxie's a rising superstar. And Embiid's already an MVP talent. We just need that third wheel to help the guys out and maybe make a deep run past the second round in the Eastern Conference playoffs. But let me ask you this question about Paul George before we get to some of the stuff that came out yesterday. In your opinion, is Paul George worthy of a max contract in this day and age in the NBA?
No, absolutely not. Not if you're serious about winning. But, you know, it's a case-by-case scenario. If you have the money and you truly believe that you are just one superstar, unfortunately, on his way down, but it's that kind of experience and that kind of professionalism with a bunch of young guys you need, then, you know, you have to cross that bridge. You can't say no. But even the stuff out of his mouth, Donnie, I mean, when you listen to Paul George, the idea of, oh, I'm not chasing a title anymore at this point in my career, like, don't worry, because I'm not chasing giving you a max deal here for you not to be interested in chasing a championship. So it's very interesting with Paul George here. He's never quite lived up to the previous deals that he has gotten. The injuries continue to pile up. He's not getting any younger. I don't blame the 76ers from taking a step back and going, you know, they got $65 million in cap space, I think, this year. They can do a lot of things with that. And not tying it up with Paul George, I think, would maybe be the best move for Murray.
Like, eligible to sign these deals. Now, when we talk about what it means to the organization, of the player to an organization, let's equate this, Joe, to the NFL. We'll go to the Minnesota Vikings. When this season opened, the past season, even though Justin Jefferson got injured, their general manager took that microphone and goes, we think he's the best wide receiver in football. We're going to probably pay him more than anybody's ever gotten at the wide receiver position. We want him here long term. This sets the stage for there's going to be a negotiation, but Justin Jefferson is not leaving town. We love this guy. The reason I bring that up is we're not getting that from the Clippers on Paul George. Like, do you remember? It was like, hey, let's wrap all these guys up and make sure they're here long term. James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George. We're moving into our new stadium. We got Tyronn Lue. We're not getting those vibes that we're hearing from their ownership group. Like, it doesn't matter. We're going to give him more money than anybody can. He's going to be happy to play in Los Angeles, which means he's going to be a free agent, whether or not he signs back with the Clippers. But do you view that the same way I do? Like, We're not hearing those vibes out of L.A. like, hey, if we lose him, we lose him. Otherwise, like, we can't lose this guy. We got to handle our business. I'm not getting that picture right now.
Well, you're not getting it also if you're the Clippers, because you already made your choice, Donnie, didn't they, in January when they extended Kawhi? They made the decision on where they were going to invest. They'd rather have Kawhi than Paul George, and I think that tells you exactly where the Clippers feel Paul George is in the pecking order, because they gave the money to Kawhi, and Kawhi, to his credit, is saying, hey, listen, I signed that extension because I thought, you know, Harden and Paul George are going to be sticking around. But that's just not realistic, and Kawhi knows that. So, you know, Harden took a much less deal in order to kind of prove it, in order to get maybe that one final contract, that one final max deal. Paul George might be in that spot where it may not be perfect, but he may have to take a little less in the short term if he's planning on getting one of those monster contracts again to finish his career.
Yeah, he's made a lot of money already, but let's also factor in, like, do you remember the days gone by of, you know, when your agent would get a hold of you and say, you are about to be a free agent. Here's what I want you to do. You just can't get injured for the next 10 or so days. I don't even want you working out, playing ball, or anything. I want to secure this contract. And number two, I don't want you going around saying how much you love to play in a certain city or what you think it's worth. And certainly in this day and age, there weren't podcasts, let's just say 20 to 15 years ago, that were mass producing, getting out there, which they are now. So the thing you have to love, if you're his agent, you say, okay, I'm trying to drum up interest. Paul, why don't you go on to make yourself and put yourself in a good light here on some of these podcasts? So what does he do? Goes on a podcast and says basically this. I don't really know if I want to do the dirty work out here for some of these basketball teams. Oh. And quite frankly, I would like it if there was another like alpha dog on the team, but not too much of an alpha dog on the team, because I still want to get mine. I don't really want to dribble the ball and be a point guard, but it would be nice if I could handle the ball a little bit more. You want to talk about just sabotaging, like, well, what does this guy actually want? He wants the most money he can get, doesn't want to be the alpha dog, doesn't want to play a ton of defense, still wants to win and goes to an organization, but I'm not really chasing championships. I'm just chasing the right chance to play ball in the right situation. What is he doing out here right now?
You and I are on the same page, because when I heard the quotes, I was like, what are you doing? Like, what? Seriously, what are you doing? So, you know, apparently you hung around James Harden too much, because that sounds an awful lot like Harden. Like, gimme, gimme, gimme. But, you know, I can't really promise you that I'm going to be motivated enough. You know, that there's a world of difference between Paul George and Jimmy Butler, right? All things being equal, if you told me that, you know, I could give max deal to Jimmy Butler or Paul George, and Butler is a little older, I would say Jimmy Butler, because you know he's a dog. Like, you know he is going to be a guy that's going to do everything, whether it works out or not, but he is a guy that's going to lay it all out there. Do we really feel that way about Paul George after that? I don't.
No. Yeah, he's telling us he doesn't. He's almost telling us, like, look, I know I'm going to get this one last payday. I'm going to make this glove fit perfectly here. Even if you don't like it, as long as the numbers are right for me, I'll then be able to do what I want. So we'll see how that turns out. But if he does go somewhere, let's just say, in your opinion, free agency opens up, give it a couple days. Is he back with the Clippers, and or where do you think he winds up here, Joe, if he's not with the Clippers?
Yeah. Well, the whole thing is, and you got to be very careful here, Donnie, we know this, right? Mm-hmm. So are the Sixers backing off because they don't think he's leaving the Clippers? Is this all just a smoke show where they're like, listen, I'm not getting in a bidding war, because the only person who wins there would be Paul George. Are the Sixers thinking that this is all really just a smoke show? We're being leveraged here, so he's not leaving Kawhi Leonard, right? He's not. I mean, the whole reason he's there is because of Kawhi Leonard, right? That's the only reason those two are there. So maybe this is all just a leverage ploy for Paul George, and the Sixers are like, sorry, you're not leaving. This is all smoke. You're not leaving, which could very well be. He might land exactly where he is right now.
Yeah, it almost gets those vibes of, like, let's just say Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. It was like, he's a free agent technically. Somebody negotiate with him, knowing that they go, like, I'm not negotiating with this guy, because all he's going to do is pick that contract up, show it to the Ravens, and the Ravens will get out their pen and sign him. Like, okay, that's what you were worth on the open market. Come back to it. So it's a very good point in that aspect. But also, we did see during the NBA Finals, Joel Embiid on set, Paul George on set, being chummy here. But also, things happen for a reason at some times. I don't think the Sixers soured because of what Paul George actually said, which means they're probably hot on the tails of some other deal that's about to go down. Yes. And maybe Paul George is like, man, I can't use the Philadelphia 76ers for leverage anymore at this time. But we're only beginning here on this show on Friday. We got a lot more hot topics, kid. Includes Major League Baseball. Let's do some recapping next right here on The Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's talk some Major League Baseball yesterday. And got to tell you, like, sometimes we take a look at Major League Baseball and they get widely panned, and for good reason sometimes. Rob Manfred, who I think is a very good commissioner because I love all the changes to the game with the rules that come in. But I understand why a lot of people don't like it. And some of the comments in the past that Rob Manfred's like, man, that thing's just a metal trophy here. It's not that big of a deal when dealing with the Houston Astros winning that championship and if they should have it taken away. I get that. But every once in a while, leagues surprise you with how well they do on certain instances. And yesterday, the game at Rickwood Field, I thought was tremendous. And if anybody doesn't know the history here, right? Oldest ballpark in professional baseball, dating back to 1910, where they spent $5, $6 million fixing up this field to get it right and say, you know what? We are going to have a celebration. And the only problem with this celebration was we expected Willie Mays to be there. A couple days before the game, Willie Mays, it was announced he wasn't going to make that trip, passes away peacefully here, and rightfully so, all the attention on number 24 out there. I thought the celebration around the game was so much better than the game itself, which was fantastic if you were a total better. Joe, I know you watched it as well, and it's one of those things where, like, sometimes you tune into the game just to see the way it is, like the Field of Dreams game or even the Little League game that's played at the Little League World Series every year where they bring teams into play in Williamsport. I think that's fantastic. But from the absolute pageantry that we saw before that game, the interviews by the biggest titans of the game and the representation from some of the older players, I was fascinated the way it turned out. And I don't think, like, Fox and Major League Baseball couldn't have done a better job than they did last night. I thought it was wonderful stuff.
I agree with you. I mean, the folks in the stands, I mean, you had Jeter, you had Bonds, you had Griffey, you had, it really was a blowback from the past. I mean, it was just historic. And how many of these stadiums, Donnie, over the years that just, you know, they got bulldozed for shopping centers, they got bulldozed for condos. I mean, this is a huge, an absolutely huge part of our pastime, both in Major League Baseball and, you know, our country in general. So I thought it was so well done. The $5 million, I'm not sure what they did with the renovations. They said last night on the telecast that it was a $5 million renovation, but that place looked, it was the perfect blend where the field looked every bit as good as any field that you're going to see right now in the MLB. But what they did, the surroundings, they managed to keep that thing standing in time with the stands and everything else. I thought it was well done. And quite honestly, I enjoyed it a heck of a lot more than I enjoyed the Field of Dream games out in the middle of absolutely nowhere where it took, you know, a horse and buggy, three planes, a helicopter ride. Like, you still couldn't get there. It was close to nothing. But this last night represented a slice of history. And again, when the fifth and sixth inning, when they went to the black and white and everything, the graphics, everything was as if you were watching Willie Mays in the late 50s and early 60s, was absolutely amazing. Great job by Fox getting it done.
Yeah, exactly. The great storytelling also, because the reason why you're going back to Rickwood Field is you want to learn about the past. And Reggie Jackson was on with the Fox group yesterday. I think it was Derek Jeter, A-Rod, getting interviewed right next to him. And he basically told the truth because he played there back in the mid-1960s and told how well they were treated and how well they weren't treated at times, the guys that helped them out. So the entire storytelling of the whole situation I thought was fantastic. And if you are Major League Baseball, like, I do like the Field of Dream games. That should be once a year as well. But I do believe a game at Rickwood Field on a year-to-year basis is absolute must-see TV. And I know Major League Baseball viewed that, probably got great ratings off it, a great reception. Oh, yeah. They should be doing that at least once a year again. I think the players really enjoyed themselves also learning about that history. But the game itself, the St. Louis Cardinals won 6-5. The game goes over the total. And if you are a starting pitcher and you head into that game, like Mr. Palante was, and give up 5 earned runs and still come away with a victory, That's a pretty good job. Well done. But I thought the game would go over. We also say some of those renovations, if they left the old field out there, I'm not so sure how many home runs we actually would have saw in that game. But they brought the fences in more like a Major League Baseball structure, and the balls were leaving the yard yesterday. Fun game all the way around. St. Louis 6-5 winner goes over the total there, Joe.
Yeah, I did. I liked the Cardinals early in the game. I thought Pallant had an actual advantage there, and it worked out that way. But, you know, when they're hitting, there was a couple home runs early in that game, and they looked like routine end-of-the-bat fly balls to the opposite field. And I'm like, oh, boy, I don't think the books got the total right in this one, because the ball was absolutely jumping out. So it was so funny. One of the first home runs, I was like, where did that land? In that guy's backyard? I mean, the ball was unbelievable. It was well done, and it was very entertaining. It was better than any sort of 1-0 game. I thought the fans and anybody watching got their absolute money's worth.
Yeah, good time had by all. Certainly, hopefully it comes back to next year as well. We'll watch that again. How about this? A battle of first-place teams, the Cleveland Guardians and the Seattle Mariners. Cleveland gets a 6-3 victory here. 9 hits for the home team here. Class A gets his 22nd save of the year. Logan Allen improves to 8-3. And by the way, not so much about this game itself. I just feel like a lot of people are sleeping on the Cleveland Guardians. And if you're not paying attention, number one, taking them on the money line, it's been profitable. They're 46-26. But some of the guys in the lineup, like Kwan coming back to being that leadoff hitter, has been great. Ramirez has been absolutely phenomenal. Josh Naylor on a day-to-day basis hammering the baseball. Fry as well. I like this Guardians team overall here, Joe.
I did not understand the line flip yesterday in this game. The Guardians went from, you know, a small favorite to all of a sudden all the money started coming in on the Mariners and Castillo, and I'm going, do we really not trust Logan Allen? I didn't understand what was going on there. I get the better bullpen, the better lineup at home, and it was a little strange the way this thing flipped yesterday, but ultimately that's what won it. The better lineup and the better bullpen ended up winning this game, and the Guardians are that.
Seems like on a day-to-day basis, Joe, we talk about the Houston Astros. I just think they're dead in the water for the rest of the year. But it does pay to win some baseball games and keep yourself maybe in the race for the AL West, which there are a lot of games back already. Chicago White Sox are 20-56 for a reason. The Houston Astros beat them yesterday. My best bet on the show yesterday, Joe, was a Yordan Alvarez anytime RBI. Handles that in the first inning with a solo blast. Also tacks on another RBI and adds 3 hits there. Yeah. The Astros, are they back? They're back, right, Joe? The Astros, 35?
No, they're not back. They're terrible. They're a fade. Who wants to sweat out the Astros, who can barely beat the White Sox? Like, absolutely not. Nope, I'm past. They're done.
I don't even know if they have any pitchers left on the left on their roster at this point here. Verlander, who knows when he's coming back? Who's going to help them? My goodness, a tough year for those Houston Astros. Let's get to the Bronx. Who were the Bronx Bombers yesterday? Certainly wasn't the New York Yankees. Hello, Orioles.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
90-degree temperatures yesterday in the Bronx didn't do any favors to either one of the starting pitchers yesterday between the Baltimore Orioles and the New York Yankees. But I gotta say this, that final score, certainly stunning. 17-5 Baltimore over New York. Now, when we dip into this, you might say, like, well, look, the Yankees didn't really have a starting pitcher there. It was a bullpen day. They knew it might be a tough one to get over. No, they had a 9-1 pitcher taking the mound yesterday. And that 9-1 pitcher, Luis Gil, Joe, he only lasted an inning and a third. Why? 8 hits, 7 earned runs, only 1 strikeout. He got absolutely crushed. The Baltimore Orioles, we know, have a very good offense. But the Yankees, with Aaron Judge back and maybe an ace, technically, on the mound, smoked in the Bronx yesterday. The Orioles and the Yankees will be so much fun to watch the rest of the summer. But I got to tell you, this surprised me right away because the scoring felt like it never stopped for the Orioles, along with 19 hits yesterday.
Yeah, in hindsight, the over might have been a pretty good play there. 90 degrees, getaway day. It didn't really matter for Baltimore. They were getting at it. They're now 5-2 against the Yankees, and I believe they set a major league record yesterday, Donnie. That is their 22nd straight series that they have won against American League East opponents. So they have been dominating the division over the last couple of seasons here. This is the team that you got to take serious, that without a doubt is going to be making some moves for starting pitching, has to be making some moves for starting pitching since everyone is shelved that they thought would be their starting pitchers this year. Listen, Heal was not going to win every game. There were metrics in there that at some point this was going to happen, and it happened. So to me, this is all about what does he do next time out, Donnie?
It's very true. That bounce back is going to be interesting, but you're right about it. Like, it's so many typical times, like, you'll come out in April, like, man, this pitcher's 4-5-0. We didn't see this coming. And later it catches up to you. Or if a pitcher that's very good starts slow, it's no surprise by midsummer, he's full gas, 7 innings every night and picking up wins here. We were waiting on Luis Gil to say, is he really this good or is he not? And there's no shame. Look, eventually you're going to get a hit around. You're in a hitter's ballpark, which you were yesterday, with great hitting conditions, with a red hot lineup. Yeah. Sometimes they just get the best of you. Like, you take a look at, like, Gunnar Henderson, man, 3-5 in the leadoff hole, 279 hits with power. You had other guys with three base hits, which included Rutschman and Mountcastle. You had two guys yesterday in that lineup with four RBI apiece back-to-back. That was Mountcastle and O'Hearn. Sometimes it's just a matter of one team clicking at the right time. And if you would have told me before the game, hey, by the way, Yanks picking up five runs yesterday, and I said, wait a second, Luis Gil's on the mound and the Yankees got five runs? They probably won 5-2, 5-3, and away they go. Instead, they get hammered by 12 runs. So let's take a big picture look at this, because this is probably going to be the most fun you're going to have in baseball, watching a single division with the two top teams all the way through. So if you look at the Baltimore Orioles, 49-25, the Yankees at 51-26. I like where you're going here, because when I look at the Orioles, can you imagine? Go out there and just get one solid start. And I don't mean a fourth or fifth just to get you some innings. Can you get a true number two or number three to pitch in that number two or number three spot? I love what the Orioles have. They have a great farm system that they can use to their advantage this year, Joe.
And the big question, Donnie, is going to be, are they going to spend any money? What are they... You know, we've heard before as Baltimore Orioles fans, right, that no, we don't want to give up any of the youth, any of the assets with, you know, in due time. Well, here it is. Now's the time. So exactly who are you going to go out and throw money at, and who are you going to get in order to make a run here at a world championship? Or is it just the same old for the Orioles ownership? I can't wait to see exactly what they do and who they spend it on.
Yeah, the new ownership group that did come in, maybe it is a different outlook on it. You don't want to burn a lot of those great prospects, but you can certainly make moves. Because typically, it's about that bottom line. How much money you're willing to eat or pay to get one of those upper-level pitchers that possibly would come true here at the trade deadline. But also, I bring up this topic a lot, Joe. You look at the Yankees here, and yes, they got crushed, and maybe their fans are unhappy, but deep down, they might even feel good about that loss. You say, what are you, crazy, Donnie? Just lost to a rival here, getting beat by 12 runs? Let's imagine, again, I use this. Take the Orioles out of that division. Let's just say they played in the West and the East. The Yankees are up double digits. Cashman, do you think he's working the phones going, like, you know what? I think we need another pitcher. Yeah. I think we need another bat. You look at how good the Orioles are. Now, if you're a Yankees fan going, like, Cashman, you just can't sit on your hands here. You have to make moves. So for my money, take a look at the New York Yankees right now and saying, okay, they're still in first place. It's great that the Orioles are on their tail, because that will force that ownership group and front office to make those moves and not hold on to guys like Jason Dominguez. He's going to be the future here. Mm. Trade that guy. Get a good player back for him, and we'll see what happens. But I love where we're going here, Joe, in the NL East, not a doubt. Yep. By the way, hour number one is up. Hot topics are about to come up in hour number two. If you want some heat, people, go outside, but also watch this show. Hour number two on its way.